Open with me your Bibles. Our scripture is Romans chapter 4. Here we read of Abraham who is saved by faith. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debts. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a sign of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who hath quickened the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So far, the reading of God's Word there. We continue our study of Lord's Day 7 of the Heidelberg Catechism, page 6 in the back of your Psalters. Last Sunday, we were able to look at question and answer 20 with a doctrine there of definite or particular salvation. Are all men then as they perish in Adam saved by Christ? No, only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. And now the Heidelberg instructor picks up on that last phrase, faith. What is true faith? Answer, true faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Spirit works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others but to me also remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. Question 22. What is then necessary for a Christian to believe? Answer, all things promised to us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. And then question 23. What are these truths? And those are the truths that we confess every Sunday evening, and we will again this coming evening, Lord willing. Beloved, this truth, we are saved by the grace of God. Abram was saved by grace, and all the seed of the promised seed of Abram are saved by grace. By faith, we saw last week that we are engrafted into Christ and His body, the church. And we receive from Christ Jesus all His benefits by faith. What is the connection between those who are saved and this wonderful mediator? What is the connection? And the answer is faith. So as we look at this Lord's Day, we ask some questions. What is faith? What is true faith? What must we believe? Can we have definite assurance that we are saved? So we have the truth of the believer's faith. What is faith? Second of all, to what faith holds? And thirdly, of what faith assures? Faith. The Heidelberger here, first of all, tells us that faith is a living bond. It is a connection, a tie that we have united as believers to Christ Jesus. And that is the work of the Almighty God, is it not? It's not the work of man. It is not, as many want to say, okay, this is our response. God offers salvation, and what faith is now is our hand taking hold of it, saying, yes, I will. Faith is a living bond uniting the believer organically with Christ Jesus. A sovereign work of God. A sovereign work. His work alone. John 6, verse 44. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Do you feel the joy of that knowledge that it was your God who drew you irresistibly to Christ Jesus? It was your God who drew you and united you to Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And what we're talking about here, and we'll talk about this evening also, is then God's work of the regenerated heart and the regenerated sinner. That regenerated saint who is engrafted into Christ and now possesses his life within us. To us belong all of Christ's benefits because we're united to Christ. We are his bride. We're one with Christ. And faith. Faith is that spiritual power. Faith is that ability now to appropriate Christ for ourselves. In other words, faith brings us into that mystical union. And beloved, I want you to see how personal this all is. What is true faith? True faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart. That not only to others, but to me also remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God. Merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. We are made members of Christ. So you can actually say that Christ is not all that he could be without his body. The head has a body, and we are nothing without the head, Christ Jesus. And faith. Faith is that channel then whereby all the blessings of God in Christ Jesus flow to us. So number one, faith. What is faith? It is that spiritual bond where we have been glued or engrafted into Christ Jesus. We are made one. Number two, faith is also an activity. Our activity, or God's work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's the activity of believing. The Philippian jailer asks Paul and Silas, when the earthquake had rent the jail, the shackles had fallen off from Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And Paul's answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Catechism reminds us of two essential elements of faith. It is, first of all, a certain knowledge. In other words, we don't have a blind faith. We don't say, well, I don't understand it, but I'm simply going to throw myself into Jesus' hands. No, we know who Jesus is. It is a sure knowledge, and it is a hearty confidence. The apostle, in Romans chapter 4, Paul speaks about the faith of Abraham. It was a certain knowledge of what God had promised to him, wasn't it? It was a promise that to him would be given a seed, that he would be the father of many nations. And he didn't doubt that, even though his body was dead as well as that of Sarah. He held to God's promise. And even when God tried him and says, offer up your son for a sacrifice, he held to God's promise that Isaac was his seed. And though that Abram would slay him, yet God would raise him up from the dead. What a sure, sure knowledge. We read in Romans 4, verses 18 through 21. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might be made the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. I challenge you, I challenge myself in reading the scripture here. Are we strong in faith? And we are strong in faith then, first of all, by sincerely knowing that which God has revealed, his promises that are in the scripture. That activity of faith must come, of course, from an ability or from a potential to believe. Who is able to believe? Everyone? And the answer is no. God gave that ability to Abraham when he chose him. And God gives that ability to believe to you and to me and to all of his own in regeneration. When he gives us a new heart, and in that heart is faith, the seed of faith. And that becomes an activity through the work of the Holy Spirit upon us, where he seals God's word to our hearts. What is that faith? The Holy Spirit works that faith, and the Holy Spirit strengthens that faith by the preaching of the word, by the hearing of the word, with our minds being receptive or attentive to it, and then our hearts receptive. You see, faith is not merely a matter of the mind, but faith is a matter of the whole soul of a person, all of his life, as proceeding from the heart. Listen once with me to how beautifully the canons put that. I'm thinking of the third and fourth head of doctrine, Article 14. Faith is therefore to be considered as the gift of God, not on account of its being offered by God to man to be accepted or rejected at his pleasure, but because it is in reality conferred, it is breathed, it is infused into him, or even because God bestows the power or the ability to believe and then expects that man should, by the exercise of his own free will, consent to the terms of salvation and actually believe in Christ. You see, it not rests upon man and his response, but rather because he who works in man both to will and to do, and indeed all things in all, produces both the will to believe and the act of believing. Do you believe? Do you believe as the scriptures set forth before you Christ Jesus? Do you believe, as it sets forth, the power of God unto salvation? It is all of God. We are saved. Notice now carefully, not because we believe, but rather we are saved through the means of faith. We appropriate Christ Jesus. And now again, we have to look at the catechism, for if you will notice in our question, the Heidelberger says, what is true faith? What is genuine faith? What is real faith? In other words, when it's saying what is true or what is real, or it's saying there's a lot of counterfeit out there. It might appear like faith, but it isn't. There is, first of all, that intellectual assent, or what we call historical faith. What is that? That with the mind, we know the facts about Christianity. We know those facts because perhaps you were raised in a Christian home, because you've been in church, because you, in the Christian school, you are taught these scriptures, you know all about God and you know all about Christ. But with the mind, not with the heart. We read in James 2, verse 19, thou believest in one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. So let's pause a moment. Let's discuss our faith. Is my faith a true faith? Or is it just intellectual assent to those things that we know about God? We could also call that dead orthodoxy. You might know the catechism backwards and forwards, but is it only a thing of your mind, or is it of the heart from which are all the issues of life? Just a mere intellectual assent is not true saving faith. It's a counterfeit. There is what is called temporary faith. That is, for a little while one is filled with excitement, but that excitement withers and is choked out with the cares or the pleasures or the hardships of life. Judas had a temporary faith. Eagerly he follows Jesus as one of those 12. But as Jesus' 3 years of ministry continue, his excitement of following Jesus wanes because he finds out it's not going to be an earthly kingdom where he and the other disciples would receive all kinds of accolades from those around and positions of power and money. Temporary. It is the kind of faith of a soldier in a foxhole. Oh, when those bullets are flying over his head, he's busy praying to God. But just as soon as the bullets stop, and he is on R&R back in town, he doesn't need God, he doesn't really want God anymore, because he wants the prostitutes and the wine and the drugs that he may get into. Temporary. Fear, or otherwise, the cares or the pleasures of the world drowned out. And then there is, thirdly, miraculous faith. When Jesus speaks to the 10 lepers, and he says, go show yourselves to the priest. Well, no one could come before the priest unless there was no leprosy left in their body, but all 10 of them turn and they go to the priest. But one. one turns around and comes back to the giver of the miracle, Jesus Christ. There is that kind of faith that looks good. I'm thinking of how Jesus, there on the way to Jerusalem, saw that fig tree. And by all the leaves on that fig tree, there was a promise there of good fruit. But there was no fruit on it. And Jesus cursed that fig tree and it withered and died. Faith, real faith, ends up with activity of thankfulness. Real faith produces works in our lives that are pleasing to God. And again, the question comes to you and me. Is your faith that you have in Jesus Christ a working faith, one that produces a life that is being molded by the Holy Spirit, by God's grace, to please God? Please God in your marriage relationships. Please God in your schoolwork. To please God in your employment. To please God in your recreation events. In other words, all of your life. True faith. Over against this intellectual assent, over against temporary faith, over against miraculous faith, over against dead orthodoxy, the Catechism speaks of true faith. That is a God-worked faith in the heart and the mind and the life of His children. It is the work of our God drawing us irresistibly to Christ Jesus. Not just once, but a whole life of regeneration every day, drawing us, closer and closer to Him whom we love. Faith. God's gift to us, where we are bonded to Christ Jesus, we are drawn to Him, where we believe in Him and now we live for Him. That brings me to my second point. To what faith holds. And let's again look at what the Catechism says. What is necessary for a Christian to believe? All things promised to us in the gospel. All things. What is promised in the gospel? In other words, what faith holds on to, number one, is not our feelings or our experiences. Faith is not what I think or what I feel. I want to emphasize that. There are dear saints that go through their life, they're not sure if they are saved until they feel something mystical in their life. Yes, the Apostle Paul there on the way to Damascus was stopped short and Christ spoke to him. He could name the hour, the day. But a young Timothy, who was raised from a childhood up by his mother and grandmother, would not be able to point to that time. And most of you and me aren't able to point to that particular time in our life. In other words, all of our life on, God has been working faith in us through the work of parents, Christian teachers, pastors, and elders. But working that faith through what we call that sure knowledge of what God has revealed in His Word. Yes, faith holds to what God has said. And so with our Bibles open before us, when Satan harasses us with temptations, And when within us there's a proneness to doubt, we take up God's word in our hand and we simply, I believe it. God said it, I believe it. Because that word of God has that kind of authority. It is God's word, which is infallible. It is inspired. It will not lead us astray. Faith holds to the word of God. Second of all, faith holds to the wonder of salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ. Isn't that the central wonder of God? Of God made flesh to dwell among us, to suffer and to die for us, granting us salvation. It is faith that holds on to that truth. Let's go back again to God's word there in Romans chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. What does faith hold to? It holds to God's salvation. That's really the name Jesus, isn't it? Jehovah and Jehovah alone saves. And faith holds to the truthfulness of all the Scriptures. How sad to believe that there are those in the church who increasingly say, well, we have here, the Word of God is somewhere contained here. But now our job is to discern what is God's Word and what was merely Paul's Word, or what was James' Word, or what was John or Mark's Word. In other words, they cut up the precious Scriptures. And they decide which Scriptures they're going to hold as the infallible Word of God and which is just simply contents or frameworks or myths. And over against that lie, what is then necessary for a Christian to believe? All things promised to us in the Gospel. All things. That God created the world in 6 days. I believe it because the Scriptures tell me so. I believe that Adam and Eve were created special from all the other animals by God's creative activity. That man is not just an evolution of lower types of life. But after God had created the rest of creation, then He said, let us make man in our own image. And He shaped him with His hands and He breathed into him the breath of life. Two original people. Adam first and out of Adam a help fit for him. Adam and Eve. And I believe from the Scriptures that when Satan came to tempt them, not just a story here, but Satan entered into a serpent who was very subtle. And the devil laid before them the lie, you will not surely die, but you'll become equal with God. I believe that Adam, as the head of the human race, along with his wife, believed the lie of Satan instead of the truth of God. And I believe on the basis of Scripture then that all man fell into sin, because that's what we read in the Scriptures. As in Adam all sin, so in Christ shall all be made alive. And I believe on the basis of Scripture that at the right time, the fullness of time, God, who had promised a Redeemer, one who would crush the head of the serpent, in the fullness of time, the Son of God came in our flesh. Not by the will of man, But the Holy Spirit descended upon believing Mary, and she was pregnant, and she gave birth to a child. And I believe, on the basis of Scripture, that Jesus Christ was about 30 years old, and that he began his earthly ministry equipped by the Holy Spirit. And I believe on the basis of Scripture that he was, Isaiah 53, the suffering servant of Jehovah. Why suffering? Not only from mankind, but because God was pouring out his wrath upon his Son as he took your and my sins upon himself and the guilt. And all of his life then, and especially there on the cross, he atoned for my sins. And I believe, by faith, that the same Jesus Christ who suffered and died and was raised again from the dead, ascended into heaven, he's now sitting there in heaven. And the earthquakes that took place this past week are not a matter of luck or terrible things, but rather Christ is sitting in heaven directing all of history to carry out God's divine plan. And I believe, on the basis of Scripture, that the same Jesus Christ who went up into heaven is coming again for us. Why? Because God's Word tells me that. Because the angels explained to the disciples, why look ye up into heaven like that? The same Jesus is coming again. This faith, your and my faith, a gift of God, where we're united to Christ Jesus, where we believe on Him, where we love Him, where we serve Him, is a faith that holds to God's Word then and expresses itself. You see, faith is like that fig tree. If there are leaves on that tree, there ought to be figs. It looked promising. So faith is not merely an inward commitment. But faith is also expressed, isn't it? It's expressed by a confession of our faith. You young people, young adults, who have been taught the Word of God from childhood on, you come and you stand before God's people and you confess, I believe in this Jesus Christ. I believe these truths. I hold them as my own. And we make that confession not only before Christ Church, but we make that confession every day of our lives before the world. We do it not only with the lips, but we do it with the life that we live. Not thinking that we are our own, and that we live for our own pleasures, but rather that we live for our Lord Jesus Christ. And faith holds these truths of God's Word as they are confessed by the Church of Jesus Christ. You see, our faith is a confessional faith. It's what holds us together, the three forms of unity. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who is leading his church into the truth, the Spirit of truth. And so you and I don't stand as individuals and say, well, I'm gonna skip whatever everyone else says and what they believe. And I don't really need the church. I can believe by myself. I can serve God, Christ at home if I want to. No. I must be a member of Christ's church to whom the gospel was given, through whom the Holy Spirit has been working through the centuries as we discern God's Word and over against the many errors that have been put against it. We are guided confessionally. The Holy Spirit leads us in those truths of God's Word. We don't make up our own ideas of what's right or wrong. That'd be as foolish, wouldn't it? as a person says, I would like to have a cart, or I would like to have a car, and I'm going to design it. I'm not going to pay any attention to how others did it. I'm just going to, in myself, think, and then I'm going to create a wheel. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? The wheel has already been invented, hasn't it? We take those things in the natural world, so also from the Word of God. As the Church of Jesus Christ, which is the pillar of the soundness of God's Word, as the Spirit has guided the church in the truths of the Word, we take those truths written down in our confession. And then lived out by lives of obedience. Lived out. Because we're not merely hearers of the Word, but also doers of the Word. James 1 verse 22. Do you see the faith here? What is true faith? Implies conversion. And implies sanctification. It implies the whole life of regeneration in the broader sense. Not just that moment when that new heart was given to us, but all the way that our Savior leads us by His Spirit and by His Word. To what does faith hold? That brings me, beloved, to my third point of what faith assures. For you see, we said earlier already, faith is not only a sure knowledge of what God's Word reveals, but it is also then a hearty confidence. A hearty confidence. There have been those in the church who say that a person might have faith, but not the assurance of salvation. In other words, assurance becomes to them something like an extra gift given to some people and not to other people. But the Catechism clearly teaches that faith involves an assurance of salvation. John 3, verse 36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Confidence. Notice it does not say he that believeth on the Son hopefully will have eternal life. It doesn't say he that believeth on the Son someday will have eternal life. No, no, no. He that believeth on the Son has right now as a position everlasting life. Life that can never be taken away from us. We know that we are children of God, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and indwelt by His Holy Spirit. Again, let me go back to the canons. The third and fourth head of doctrine, Article 11. But when God accomplishes His good purpose in the elect, or works in them true conversion, He not only causes the gospel to be externally preached to them and powerfully illumines their minds by His Holy Spirit, that they may rightly understand and discern the things of the Spirit of God, but by the efficacy of the same regenerating Spirit, pervades the inmost recesses of man. He opens the closed, He softens the hardened heart, He circumcises that which was uncircumcised, He infuses new qualities in the will, which, though hitherto was dead, He quickens. From being evil and disobedient and refractory, He renders it good and obedient and pliable, actuates and strengthens it, that like a good tree, it may bring forth the fruits of good actions. He who believes on the Son hath eternal life.
What does that mean? Beloved, not only that we have faith kind of generically, how beautifully the Catechism puts it. Faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the Gospel in my heart. And not only to others, but to me also remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace for Jesus' sake. So I want to ask each one of you this morning, as I have to ask myself, are you able to respond with that same answer of the catechism instructor? That certain assurance, not only to others, not only to the person sitting nearby you in the pew, but you may say gladly, by the grace of God, but to me also, forgiveness of sins and righteousness and eternal life. It's by faith. And that means, second of all, that without faith, one is not saved. We read in John 36, verse B, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Can an unbeliever enter into heaven? And the answer is absolutely not. But in response to the jailer's question, what must I do to be saved? God's answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those that don't like that text. They assume that that makes then faith a condition rather than a means. Or they say, then man is first before God. Not at all. You and I, by faith, believe that God is our salvation. God elected. That is the cause of our salvation. God the Son died for our sins. There is the basis of your and my salvation. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit applies to my heart, drawing me to Christ Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit who has put faith in our hearts and works that faith and strengthens that faith so that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we are saved. And what beautiful assurance. All those whom God has chosen before the foundation of the world, all of them will come to faith. They will come to faith because God has predetermined to give them life in Christ Jesus. Because it's God who works that faith in their hearts and lives. What beautiful assurance. Though we are sinners, we are assured of the forgiveness of our sins. We know that God declares us innocent without sin. And Romans 5, verse 1, we have peace with God. What is my righteousness? What is my standing before Christ? It's not what my hands have done. It's not my worthiness. But it is Jesus Christ, God's Son, given for our salvation, dwelling within us by His Word and Spirit. That's my righteousness. That's your righteousness, right? That enables you to lay down your head on your pillow after a day because we have peace with God. God justifies the ungodly. God justified an Abraham. He believed, wasn't perfect, he believed, and God reckoned unto him for righteousness. You and I are assured of salvation. We read in Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Eternal life, we have it already, and no one can snatch it away. And so as a little child feels secure in the mother's arms, we are secure in the shadow of the Almighty, for he has covered all of our sins by Jesus Christ, and he calls us sons and daughters. True saving faith, given by God, worked in us, strengthened through the preaching of the word. Amen. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this instruction again this morning. It's not the first time we have heard it, but the devil loves to bring doubts into our mind. Am I accepted of God? Will I be saved? Are my sins really forgiven? How we need then to be strengthened by the knowledge of faith and the confidence of faith. Salvation is all thy work of us unworthy sinners in Jesus Christ. Strengthen then, Father, our strength so that we may continue in our pilgrimage on our way to heaven. Amen.